America's founder said that our rights come from the Creator. That's enshrined in our nation's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. But tragically, the communists that took over so much of the world, including Russia, for example, in the early 20th century, based their society on a godless foundation, and the ramifications of that forced atheism is still with us today. For example, the ex-KGB agent Vladimir Putin, who's in charge of Russia, invaded Ukraine in 2022 in a war that continues to this day. And now there's an incredible humanitarian crisis in Ukraine because it's a horrible winter and there's not enough resources to fight against the cold. Michael Johnson, not to be confused with the Speaker of the House, but rather the president of Slavic Gospel Association, a Christian mission to Ukraine, says, quote, "This is possibly Europe's biggest humanitarian crisis since World War II. Without firewood, generators, and blankets for heat, many of the most vulnerable, like the elderly and families with children, could die. The Ukrainian winter is long and brutal." I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Michael Johnson of Slavic Gospel Association joins us now. Michael Johnson, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So what has happened? I know that Ukraine and Russia in general often have very brutal winters. What makes this particular winter so particularly horrific for the people in Ukraine?
Well, I mean, every winter they have are pretty brutal. I've been in Siberia, you know, and in the dead of winter, and it's extremely cold. And so for us, there are a lot of people that are suffering, particularly in Ukraine, because of the fact that the Russians have been blowing up the infrastructure, the heating facilities and the power, the power grid and so on and so forth. They've attacked the ability of the people in Ukraine to keep themselves warm. And so for us, we're connected to roughly 2,800 Baptist evangelical churches in Ukraine. We have a warehouse and distribution office outside of Kiev, so we can get resources to them so they can, reach out and help the people in their communities who are suffering. So in the case of this particular situation, obviously we've been involved in the distribution of humanitarian aid and other resources through those churches. But because of the harsh, cold weather, we're helping those churches to turn themselves into what we call centers of heat and hope. That is a place where the people who are freezing in their homes can come and, connect with Christians, have their, their humanitarian needs met, but also, find themselves in a situation where the churches are heated because of the fact that we're providing generators to heat those churches. And in some cases, small generators that people can bring home. But it's just an opportunity for those churches to reach out to both the physical and the spiritual needs of the people in their communities.
What is the population of Ukraine roughly?
I would, I should have an answer to that question.
Just estimate.
Russia is about 150 million. I think Ukraine is a little less than 100 million. I may be wrong.
Yeah. All right. Adam McManus, a Christian broadcaster who called this whole story to my attention, he said throughout Russia's nearly four-year-long war on Ukraine, it has destroyed 40% of Ukraine's power stations, cutting off electricity to more than 1 million households. And I was just kind of curious then, what does that mean, 1 million compared to what? In any event, you're talking about a lot of people. And he said that the freezing temperatures range between 24 degrees Fahrenheit and 34 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So people who don't have access to heat, people whose heating facilities in their cities, towns, and villages that were destroyed by these incoming missiles and drones. I mean, they're really stuck right now, and they're suffering. And we're doing whatever we can. We can't solve the whole problem, but, because of the relationship that we have with these churches, in the former Soviet Union, we're connected to roughly 6,000 churches through where we have access to work for those folks. But in this situation, the churches are really reaching out and traveling to these homes, ministering to these people, you know, giving them some hope, inviting them to their churches, and doing whatever they can to meet their needs.
Well, now, the Bolshevik Revolution was in 1917. Your organization, based in Illinois, was founded in 1934. Was it initially some sort of broadcast ministry, and then it evolved or developed into all these other services you're providing?
Yes. So Peter Danica was the founder of the ministry back in 1934. He was an immigrant from Belarus. He came to this country, got saved through the ministry of the Moody Church in Chicago. And so as the persecution began to ramp up in the Soviet Union, he saw a need that we would be able to meet from the U.S. And the first need was prayer. And we're a book called Much Prayer, Much Power. You know, this ministry prayed for the Russian people for many, many, many years. And then the initial ministry strategy revolved around the covert distribution of Bibles and Christian literature throughout those countries. But also we developed one of the first Russian language shortwave Bible teaching program. And in partnership with HCJB, Transworld Radio, and FEBC, we were able to broadcast the Christian message into those countries where the folks on the other end would listen to it in the dead of night, either in their basements or in their attics. It was certainly against the law for them to do so, but we faithfully broadcasted the programming in, and these people, you know, risked their lives and their livelihoods to listen to it on the other end. And so for all intents and purposes, this ministry really kept those countries open for the gospel during those dark, dark years. And then when the wall came down, you know, back in the, you know, early 90s, we connected with, again, the largest group of evangelical churches, that being the Baptist churches. They were established in the early 1800s. There was a revival that took place around then. And then again, during the dark years, they were persecuted for many years. Pastors were killed, you know, leaders were killed, and it was just a lot of persecution. But when the country opened up, we connected with them. We responded to their need of sound theological training. So we're the largest trainer of Christian pastors and church workers. We sponsor hundreds and hundreds of church planters and pastors, and then we equip them with resources to meet both the physical and spiritual needs of the people in their communities, so that more might hear, more might respond, more might come to a saving faith in Christ, and then be discipled in strong Bible churches.
What would you say was the social impact of forced atheism on that vast country of the former Soviet Union, of which, of course, Ukraine was one part?
Well, I know a lot of people whose lives were impacted as a result of those policies, and I think that in many cases I've talked to some of the folks that grew up during those years, and they said the more they forced atheism on us, the more we realized that they were lying and the truth was out there somewhere else. And so again, there was a lot of persecution, and the feeling was that if we're going to be persecuted for something that we believe is truth, then that is going to continue to strengthen our faith. And if it means that we need to practice our faith in the dead of night, then that's what it means. But these are really dedicated Christians. They love Christ. And I got to tell you something, being around them, it makes my faith look like a pittance, you know, because of what they have, what they have gone through. And that would be the case with any country today, you know, where Christians are under severe persecution. These are godly people who have a very strong sense of who God is, and they're not willing to give it up.
All right. So recapping our top story, you at Slavic Gospel Association have now launched Heat and Hope. And this is to try and fight against the winter, or at least provide, you know, help for people dealing with that severe winter in Ukraine this time.
Correct. Yeah. And And if anybody's interested in finding out more about it, you can come to our website, which is sga.org/heat and hope, and you can be a part of it. And again, every item of whether it be clothing or heaters or whatever is being delivered to these people by Christians who ultimately have a desire to share the gospel with these people and lead them to faith in Christ.
Are generators maybe a part of this, or just mostly firewood, coal, blankets, etc.?
Yeah, firewood, coal, and blankets are available, but the generators are typically donated to the churches so that the churches could heat themselves up and people can come, attend services, get warm, get a meal, get a hot cup of coffee or a hot cup of tea, and be involved in fellowship with these Christians who are reaching out to them.
Now, as far as the war is concerned, I mean, it seems like, I know President Trump is working overtime or trying to, you know, to get this whole thing to be resolved. There's no need for you to make any kind of political statements, but obviously what kind of impact has the war had on the people that you're ministering to? I'm sure it's not good at all.
Well, what I'm hearing, and, you know, from the people on the ground and the churches on the ground in Ukraine, is that there's a revival taking place in Ukraine because of the acts of mercy that are being demonstrated by these local churches, these Baptist evangelical churches. So many of the Christians and the pastors left and ended up in Eastern Europe. They're making a positive impact there. I mean, Ukraine was considered the buckle of the Bible Belt and still is across all of Europe, Eastern and Western Europe. But those that were left behind and or who came to faith in Christ after the war started, they're growing in their faith, they're building their churches, they're ministering to people. And as a result of that witness, there's a bit of a revival taking place in Ukraine right now.
I did not realize this. How did you personally get involved in this?
Personally, I grew up in Connecticut. And I went to California when I was 19 years old. Sorry. And I got involved in the Jesus movement out there. And so that was in 74. And I came to faith in Christ as a result of that movement. I spent a couple of years in a Bible institute. I connected with an author by the name of Hal Lindsey. He wrote a book called The Late Great Plan. And then one thing led to another. I ended up as an advertising executive in New York City, where I lived for many years. Took a short-term missions trip to Albania, and then the God began to work in my life and gave me a heart for that part of the world. And I eventually got recruited to this ministry, and now I'm the president of the ministry, and we have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to strengthen those churches to be a light for the gospel in their nations.
Is there a religious component at all in the invasion by the Russians to Ukraine, or is it really just a land grab, essentially?
Well, I mean, Putin is, I think, for the most part, he's very much an expansionist. And obviously, I mean, you probably know that, you know, when they invaded Ukraine, they thought they were going to be able to mop it up in the first 3 days, but they weren't able to do that. And I think God had another plan in place. And so, but, you know, they're going to continue to, Putin is pretty determined to keep this going until he can prevail, because if he prevails in Ukraine, that means the door would be open for him to expand into other countries like Moldova and Poland and, you know, Lithuania and places like that. So, it's a land grab. I guess that's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're basically out of time. Let me give you a website. It is sga.org, as in Slavic Gospel Association. And again, recapping our top story, you have launched Heat and Hope, a plan to help all these Ukrainians in this exceptionally freezing winter. Thank you, Michael Johnson, the other Michael Johnson, for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.